For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning. It's a very important topic we're looking at today, God's restoration for his people, up to part two. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, that you are speaking to our hearts. And Father, I pray that every person here has an open heart to hear the word of the Lord. That every person here, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're looking at God's restoration for his people. And we looked at last time about how the church as a whole has become right across the planet a fractured type of thing, and that churches have not arrived at this state that they're now in except by a sinful hardening against God's ways. And that includes compromise with the world, rejection of what the Bible says, the pride of life. But the Bible in many places talks about considering your ways. For example, the book of Haggai says to consider your ways. Consider your ways. I believe that even in this church today, there is a word, consider your ways. Do not be complacent. Have a look at Psalm 138 and we'll look at verse 2, first of all, today. I want to look at the phenomenon, which you actually see quite a lot, where people trust in things other than the Lord and they seem to prosper, but that prosperity does not lead to a good harvest. So they seem to prosper for a time, but that prosperity doesn't lead to a good harvest. Now, verse 2 of Psalm 138 shows us what God is magnifying. What is God magnifying? What does God see as important? We know that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we see that there is a magnification of what God sees as important. So it should be also a magnification of what we see as important. The Bible tells us that we should say, let God be magnified. Now, we are living in an environment, and it's a two-pronged type of thing, or I could say a double-edged sword here. We're living in an environment, technologically, where there is no excuse for any Christian whatsoever not to magnify the Word of God in their life. You can easily slip a CD into your car, easily listen or watch sermons even from years back. Now, you can even go and see some of the faith preaching of old and so on. It's all available. But the other edge of this is that because there's such technological advance, there's a lot of distraction as well. There's a lot of distraction. A lot of people get distracted by that, and they also see a lot of worldly type of things that are enticing to them. What do we have to do? We have to have a perfect heart toward the Lord, a heart that's soft toward him, a heart that says, I will magnify in my life what you magnify. Now, if you do not, and this is the warning of God, if you do not, you will come before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for what you have done in this life. This is a warning. Have a look at verse 2. I will, it's an act of your will, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, what do we see here? God has shown loving kindness to us. God has shown his truth to us. That's his word. And he has magnified his word above all his name. It is not me making this up. It is God that has said He's magnified His Word above all His name. So the way we treat His Word is very, very important. And God uses people to speak His Word. And He will come to you and say, this needs to be changed. You need to change. And He's come to the church, and He's coming to the church now, not just this church, but right across this land, and saying, you need to change. You need to put My Word in its right place in your life and in your church. Because if you don't, if you belittle it, if you compromise, there is going to be destruction. Even if you think you're prospering now, there is going to be a destruction because you've hardened yourself against the magnification of My Word. This is very, very important, both individually and both corporately for the church itself. We saw that there are things that have come into churches that should never have come in. If you go across to Proverbs 28, verse 13, Proverbs 28, verse 13, God speaks to His people on a continuous basis. He is very merciful. He will bring to a person's mind and heart and say, hey, you have been neglecting Me in prayer. You've been neglecting Me in the Word of God. You need to get this right. You need to get it right now. Because if you continue to harden your heart to the words of the Lord, that's going to be something you'll be answerable to and will not bring good things into your life. Now, what we see here in Proverbs 28, verse 13, notice what it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So the confessing and forsaking is the repentance of sin. But don't cover it. Don't cover it. Because the spiritual law here is if you cover your sins, and we see it right across our nation, we see it right across even in the churches, and this applies obviously individually as well. If you cover your sins, you shall not prosper. You shall not prosper. So this is why we see where the churches have arrived at the state where they are in. Now, there's a great deception out there. The great deception is, oh, I've tried this and it seems to prosper. It seems to prosper. Well, perhaps this scripture is not right. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Well, think about it. If you prosper for a time, but then it all ends up in the wrong things coming into your life or destruction happening, is that real prosperity? Or is it, go back to Proverbs 1, have a look at what this says about that type of prosperity. Now, this is the worldly type of prosperity, or the wrong type of prosperity. Is it this? Verse 32 and 33. Now, you can read all of Proverbs 1 and you'll see that there's a great warning that if you don't listen to the Lord, and we're saying this to the churches and anyone that listens to this sermon in the future, there is a great warning going out to the churches that if you do not listen, if you do not heed, there is destruction on the way, even if it prosper, even if you seem to be prospering in the short run. Notice what it says in verse 32 and 33. For the turning away, this is turning away from God, turning away from His wisdom, the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. What does the fool say in his heart? There is no God. They leave God out. They leave His word out. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So there is a good prosperity of trusting in the Lord, and that will lead you into dwelling safely in God and be quiet from fear of evil, because fear of evil is all types of destruction. So the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Is that saying that fools can't prosper for a time? No, it's saying that there can be a time of prosperity, a time when everything seems to be going okay because they're trusting in other words, but it's a destructive thing. It's a destructive thing. We see this over and over right throughout Scripture. Let's have a look at an example in Isaiah 17, verses 10 and 11. Over and over throughout Scripture we see, oh, it seems to prosper, it seems to be going all right, but it doesn't produce a good end. And so the only safe way is for us to take the Word of God as God has taken it and put it, magnify it. He's magnified his word above all his name. Even his name is under his word. So we see that we should also magnify the word of God. This is a very, very serious warning for us and also for the church as a whole. A very serious warning. And I cannot get past this seriousness of it. Isaiah 17, we'll look at verses 10 and 11. And I want you to notice what it says here. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips, that's strange plantings. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. So what's it saying here? Verse 11. Who's making their plant to grow? These people that are doing this, their strange slips of plantings, they're doing it themselves. Who's making their seed to flourish? Does it say God is making their seed to flourish there? Who's doing it? Shalt thou make thy seed to flourish? They're doing it. So in their own strength, they're bringing about some prosperity, aren't they? It seems to flourish for a time. And I dare say that this is some of the things that we're seeing in the churches as a whole. Oh yes, we've put on concerts and there seems to be a bit of flourishing. Or we've done this and there seems to be flourishing. All the while putting aside the word of God, forgotten the God of their salvation, not being mindful of the rock of their strength. And what happens? Well, there's a bit of flourishing happening. We're making our plant to grow. Notice this growth. Notice this flourishing. But what does God say? But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. There is a harvest coming for many people because they haven't made their foundation on the right things. They haven't magnified the word of God. They've magnified things like entertainment or false tradition or things like that. They've magnified that but haven't magnified the Lord and his word. Now this applies individually, and it's applying right across in the church, right across now. This is a desperate thing for people. A desperate thing. As it says there, desperate sorrow. It's going to result in something that they'll be very, very perplexed about. How could this have failed? But then they'll have to get back to the Word if they want any solution whatsoever, any solution whatsoever, because it's the word that says how to prosper in the Lord. You do not want to be a fool who leaves God out and prosper for a time. You know, I spent quite a bit of time talking about King Asa, and I advise you to go back and listen to the two sermons. They're on the website, about spiritual lessons from the reign of King Asa. And in that, and you can listen to it yourself in 2 Chronicles 16, talks about King Asa trusting in and relying upon the king of Syria to defeat the plans of King Baasha, who was the king of Israel at the time. And he had prosperity for a time. You can read it for yourself. He had prosperity for a time, but you know, God sent a seer, a prophet to him, and the harvest that came out of that was devastating. Absolutely devastating. And King Asa's life became a desolate type of life. And he died in great sorrow. Even though right at the beginning of his life he went fine, but then he started to trust in the wrong things, and it seems to prosper by me recruiting this and getting that, or having a reliance on this. I seem to be prospering for a time, but you know, anything like that where you're leaving the Lord out is a false prosperity. It's a false thing, and it's going to result in something of, as we saw before, desperate sorrow, because you leave the Lord out. Have a look at Revelation 3. We see this is directly addressing the church of today, where there seems to be a prospering, and they're saying, "Oh, how wonderful and increased we are." But God is making a determination and a judgment here, and you'll see it as we go through this. And if you know about Bible prophecy, you'll know about the Laodicean period of church history. We're in that period now, the last period of church history. And in that period of church history, it talks about the very, very times we're living in now. And that's just before Christ returns. But Christ is returning for a word-washed church, according to Ephesians 5. He's not returning for a compromised, false prosperity church. He's returning for a church that is going to prosper in the Lord, where the true prosperity is. He's returning for a church that is word-based, washed with the water of the word. Not one that's compromising with the Word of God. You know, oh yes, I'll take that modern version when it suits me, but I don't agree with that other part of the modern version. It's so contradictory. And people are taking the Word not seriously, not trembling at God's Word at all, because that's what God wants us to do, to tremble at His Word. To say, "Lord, Your Word is so precious, it's magnified in my life. This is so very, very important." Let's have a look. Revelation 3. Revelation 3, starting from verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." I'm talking about Christians here. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." In other words, get in and be hot. If you're Pentecostal, be Pentecostal. Okay? Properly. According to the Word of God. If you're of the Word, be of the Word. If you're of the Spirit, be of the Spirit. Properly. Don't be half in or half out. I'd rather you not even be in than to be in and pretending. Cold or hot? Verse 16. This is what's going to happen. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So this people, right across the church now, saying, "We're increased, have need of nothing, we're rich, But it's a false prosperity that based it all on a flimsy foundation. They don't know that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What does God say is the solution? Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What's been tried in the fire? It's been the word of God has gone through the whole furnace of the earth. Gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. God's not against you being rich, but you have to be rich in Him. And white raiment. This talks about purity, purity of heart, purity of action, purity of intent, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. So that people can see. See. It's very important that you do not say, well, you know, none of this applies to me. All of us must make the decision to be completely hot for the Lord. All of us. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now notice the true prosperity. Verse 20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know, if you have a heart that is, you've got to get the pride out and the hardness out. You repent of that. God will say, you've got to get it out and stop the compromise. We talked a lot about that in the first part of God's restoration for His people. I'm standing at the door. I want to come in. I want to come into your life and change you and give you real prosperity where you're supping with me. That's called true church restitution. Restitution of our lives, restitution of the church. Right across. Right across. Right across. We don't want to be people that have forgotten the God of our salvation and are not mindful of the things of God. We don't want to be like these people that think, I'm increased and have need of nothing. But you're trusting in all the wrong words and the wrong things. And you're leaving the Word of God out. That doesn't bring proper prosperity at all. This is a great warning for the church. A great warning, and it is going out by the Spirit of God, not just here, but it's going out right across the land, right across this planet. Right across this planet. Let's have a look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 20. Jeremiah 6. And you can tell that I'm more and more getting stirred up about this area, because I know in the Lord that if we are to be used of God in the future, if we are to be used of God in the future, we cannot compromise. You do not want to be like what happened to Moses. He did all this preparation for the children of Israel to go into the promised land. He brought them out and the Lord used him greatly. And then he couldn't go into the promised land, because he did something that wasn't right. We must be people that have soft hearts before the Lord. Not playing around, not lukewarm, but hot for the Lord. Jeremiah 6, verses 16 to 20. Jeremiah 6, 16 to 20 says, thus saith the Lord. That's the Lord speaking here, isn't it? Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, when I came into the church, was born again, became born again Christian. And next year I'll be celebrating in the Lord my 40th year of being born again. Praise the Lord for that. 40 in the Lord. When I first came into the church, I would hear these, and obviously I wasn't in this church, but I would hear these words that would come, and these words that would come would be, oh, we need to have a new thing. There needs to be newness. There needs to be something new. Oh, we look to the youth. They're new. They've got some new things to offer. And even back then, it just didn't sit right with me. Because the Bible talked a lot about elders and growing and having knowledge and wisdom. And I knew very well, even in my young age back then, because I was born again at the age of 18, even way back then, I knew that I wasn't very mature. But I kept on hearing this. This was right through the church at the time. And over the years, I've seen it manifested in churches. But God is saying, and he's saying to the church now, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, we have the King James Bible. And, you know, you hear the words, we don't want those old words. They don't sound very good to the modern ear and so on. So there's this rebellion that has come up as well. We will not walk therein. We will forget about all the heritage that has come from the past. We want something new to be able to reach the world. The reality is that without the Lord, you cannot reach the world. Without the Lord, it is impossible to reach the world effectively. You'll just become like the world if you compromise with the world. Verse 17 says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. What's the sound of the trumpet talking about? The sound of the trumpet says, this is the way. This is the word. Listen to this. Go this way. So God even sent watchmen over them. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Sounds like obstinacy, doesn't it? Sounds like what we saw before. The stiffening of the neck. Hardening of the heart. Verse 18, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my, what? Words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So what's important in God's eyes? Hearkening to his words. What has God magnified? His word, even above his name. You see, this is where the battle is at. But you know what was the devil trying to do? I'll substitute the word of God for this word. They can trust in that word. And they'll seem to prosper for a while, and they'll trust in that. But actually, it's going to destroy them. It'll take them out of my way. See, this is the way the devil is. God is saying that there is a fruition that comes out of that. That's what he's talking about, even the fruit of their thoughts. There is a harvest that comes out of that. We saw that harvest in Isaiah 17. There's a harvest that comes out of that. Because, as it says there, they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Rejected it. Verse 20. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. In other words, if you reject the word of God, if you put aside the word of God, if you say that the old ways and the old paths are no good, you can do all the praising you like. You can do all the offering you like. You can do all the sacrificing you like. But God will reject that. Does it remind you of anything that's happening in the churches now? It's a big warning. It's a warning. And it's going out now. And you might say, well, we seem to be a little people. But God will have his way. He'll have his way in this church. He'll have his way in this city. He'll have his way in this nation. And he'll have his way on the planet Earth. He will have his way. And when Christ comes to the earth, will he find faith? He will find it in great abundance. Because God is not returning for a faithless, destroyed, weak church. He's returning for a church that is powerful, word-washed, and has put the Lord first in every area. Get it right individually. We can get it right corporately in the church. And we can say, restore, restore, even when no one else around is saying, restore. We can say, restore, Lord, restore, restore. Now, God has some really important things to say. And there are people, you know, all of us here individually, he's saying it to us. He's saying it to us as a church. And he's saying it to the church as a whole. If you don't get this right, you cannot be used in the end time harvest that I have planned. He's wanting us to get it right individually, as a church, and as the church as a whole as well. Now, I have a lot more to say about this. And I think I'll just read through Isaiah 42:18-25, because this is a very interesting section of scripture and quite relevant. Isaiah 42:18-25. Now, God is speaking here in a quite a dramatic and powerful way. And notice what he says. We'll start from this is Isaiah 42, and we're starting verse 18. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? It's not a very good situation, is it? The Lord's servants are blind and deaf. Verse 20, seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, which of course we know is his word. What's he magnifying? His word, his law. and make it honourable. Is it honourable now? No. At the moment, all types of people are speaking rubbish against his word, compromising with his word. But God's going to make it honourable. Verse 22, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. Didn't we read that in Revelation 3? They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth. For a spoil and none saith, restore. Why not? Because they're all after a new thing. They're all after compromise with the world. They're all after another word. Why would they say restore if they're all after that? They wouldn't know what to restore to. What does God want? He wants restoration for his people. Verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. How blind is that? How blind is that? People are rebuked and not even heeding what God is saying. Let's bow our heads in reverence to the Lord now and open our hearts up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for the people here, Lord. I thank you that for every person here there is hope in you. I thank you, Lord, for every person here and those that hear this sermon, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit would move upon every person now and speak of this whole area. This whole area and where the restoration is at. It can only be through the magnification of your word. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for putting the word into our hands. We thank you for your Spirit that is backing the word of God, the Spirit of truth.